Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and I'd like to welcome activist and creator of the groundbreaking documentary Frankenskies, Matthew Landman. Matthew, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Oh, well, I appreciate you coming. Now, what we're going to talk about is a topic that pretty much divides people instantly, especially in the truth community, would you say?
Definitely.
Now, this is what actually got me started down this path, down the rabbit hole, really. Go ahead and give us a little bit about your background and what got you started down this path.
Yeah, sure, happily. And excuse me if it sounds rehearsed. I kind of end up telling the same story slightly different. So when I do these shows and I give lectures and have conferences and what have you, what I try to convey to people is that I'm a normal guy. I just talked to you and learned that you're born in 1980, just like me. So that's really cool. Water monkey is our Chinese astrology. But yeah, I'm a water monkey from 1980. I grew up in Virginia, and I lived a normal life. I'm a normal guy from Virginia. Like, I didn't come from money. My family was pretty normal. And after I went to Virginia Tech and got a business degree, I decided to move to California. I'm living in California trying to pursue an acting career and trying to get into the film industry. I ended up working like 30 different jobs, you name it, real estate, mortgage broker, banking, Wall Street, stock market, until finally I moved to Northern California, where at the very top of Northern California, where I studied film and business again, and I got a master's in business administration, got another office job in a cubicle after that, working in finance. And finally, I checked out of all that and literally got grounded and got a job on an organic farm. So where I was living, and actually where I just moved back to after a hiatus of a few years, it's this very rural, very beautiful, sparsely populated area. And where I worked on this farm, there's no air traffic, okay? And I worked as an organic farmer, and I learned so much about this disconnect to nature and earth and the sky that we all have. It's kind of a joke, a running joke that I have, that I didn't even know after being alive for like 34 years. I didn't know that potatoes grew potatoes. And like, people chuckle and stuff like that, but literally there's a lot of people out there, they don't know these simple things, you know, there's this disconnect. And so I'm working on this farm and I'm learning all these things, and I'm making less than I ever had and learning more than I ever have. And we were in the midst of this catastrophic drought. So I was in tune with all that. And this one day we were supposed to get this torrential rain. So where I live in the Pacific Northwest, there's this seasonal storm pattern that comes through every single year. 3,000-year-old redwood trees, and they're used to the seasonal storm pattern that comes, brings moisture to the whole Pacific Northwest from San Francisco all the way up to Canada. Okay, and this seasonal storm that comes through in the jet stream, it always comes across the same way, and it hadn't happened for about 4 or 5 years when I was farming. But finally, we were going to get this week of rain in October, and it was a little early in the season. So I'm out there harvesting pumpkin, harvesting squash, because we were expecting all that stuff to rot in the field because it was an early rain. We wanted to harvest some vegetables and not have them rot, you know. And this storm came, and on the edge of the storm, so did a bunch of air traffic. And literally, I'm out there every day, maybe I see one plane, okay? And on the edge of this storm, black storm clouds coming in off the ocean, and these planes came, over a dozen planes, and they're crisscrossing the sky and leaving these persistent linear cirrus cloud formations that I still hadn't heard about and didn't know anything about. But that moment stuck with me. And I moved forward in life, and I still didn't know about chemtrails or geoengineering or solar radiation management or any of these terms. And then finally someone brought it to my attention, and I said, wait a second, I think I witnessed it that day. And I started doing research, and I learned that nobody knew about it, right? Nobody. None of my friends, none of my peers, anything like that. And once I saw that the disinformation campaign was so active and that most of the activists out there seemed to be CIA and what have you, I thought to myself, well, maybe I can make a good movie or a better movie than those that existed, and maybe I should get going on some activism and bring this subject to light. And once I started, I couldn't stop. you know, I started getting a little momentum here and there and what have you. And then I finally devoted my day in, my day out to it. And this is my life. My life is now a chemtrail activist.
Okay. So give us a brief history. Where did this start and what was it initially being developed for?
Okay. So that's great that, that's a great question. And I've studied this just as much as basically anybody on earth. So I pride myself in at least having a good amount of the answers, right? In my film, Frankenskies, it's a great piece to empower and inspire people to be able to pass forward the information, the truth to people that are on the fence or don't want to face the facts or the truth or anything like that, because it starts with the history. The historical chronology gets ran through and shows people how this program originated. So the film starts in the 1930s, and it goes through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and by the time it gets to the 60s, there's a weather war weapon that's utilized in Vietnam, and it's public information, and then all the countries on Earth come together, or the main countries at least, and they sign treaties saying that you can't use weather as a weapon because they realized what had been done, that they had turned weather into a weapon. But back in 1915, thereabout, maybe 1916, I believe it was 1915, this Professor Hatfield, he was hired in San Diego to see if he could make it rain. He built a tower about 40 feet tall, went up in this tower, and they were in the midst of a drought, and he sprayed this chemical dust into the sky thinking he could seed clouds, and he did. What seeding is you put up this chemical dust, which is nowadays silver based or even carbon dioxide based, as I show in Frankenskies, as they use in Frankenskies the movie, which you can check out, frankenskiesthemovie.com. It's online for free, it's on YouTube, we've got DVDs, what have you. But either way, he sprayed this seeding agent in the sky. And what it does is certain chemical aerosols, they seed moisture, meaning the chemicals in the sky that are in a dust particle form, they are hydroscopic. They attract water molecules to this seed, which is like a little molecule of silver or whatever they end up using. So in this instance, it was silver. And when the water droplets come to the one seed, it gets heavy and it falls down. You can also do the opposite with aluminum. You spray aluminum and it dissipates moisture, makes them separate because those aluminum particles are farther apart, kind of thing. So initially it was made to manipulate the weather and make it rain to alleviate drought.
Okay, so going from there, I mean, do you think companies like Monsanto and big corporations started using it, and maybe for not such good purposes?
Well, exactly. So once you've got the power to control who gets rain, who gets sunlight, and who does not, and you've covertly invested trillions of hours and trillions of dollars and all this into it, you've got the perfect weapon, okay? So now Monsanto has come out with aluminum-resistant seeds and drought-resistant seeds. And once the agenda has unfolded, well, it's already unfolding because we've got the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative. We've got a regime in place that's going to monitor and govern geoengineering as they launch full-scale deployment. They claim that global warming has gotten so out of hand that they need to take action into their own hands. They even came out with a paper, Exclusive Rights to Saving the Planet. There's a small group of globalists that are the patent holders that are the ones responsible for the spraying that's been ongoing. Now it's public. Now it's public. They're releasing it over the past few months and even year and a half now, that this is something that's going to be going on to protect us and alleviate the concerns of global warming, to slow down this sea level rise and what have you. But that in and of itself is a problem, reaction, solution, Hegelian dialectic hoax to further gain control of everything, the food supply and everything. But yeah, Monsanto and the nefarious characters involved with Monsanto, such as Bayer Corporation, who just bought Monsanto for about $68 billion. So that name doesn't even exist anymore. And then Bill Gates and these, and Warren Buffett and this small group, very small group of stake. I mean, they're the ones that control the world. This small, very small group of globalists have this agenda at play, to whether it be population control or just greed and control or whatever it may be. A lot of people want to know the who, what, why, where, when, how before they can really, you know, acknowledge this ongoing crime against humanity. But the why is so difficult, because I'm not them and I'm not a sociopath. You know, I mean, ultimately it's money and greed and power, but yeah, to answer your question, yes.
So getting into maybe some of the ingredients that they're spraying, we all know, we've heard aluminum, barium. What are some of the other ingredients that maybe you've researched that they're actually spraying in our skies?
So yeah, that's a really good question. When I started researching all this, okay, I thought that, you know, there was this big debate on what word should be used. Should we call it chemtrails? Should we call it contrails? Should we call it geoengineering? And once people started saying that we should call it geoengineering, I started using the word geoengineering, using that in my research. And I thought that that was more the vernacular to use to not sound like a conspiracy theorist. So it was this debate between geoengineering, chemtrails, contrails, you know, those were the three words. But as my research unfolded and I came across the NASA program, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment, CARE program, and then there's SPICE, the Stratospheric Particle Injection for Climate Engineering, Stratospheric Particle Injection for Climate Engineering is the SPICE program. Then there's also, through the CIA, the Stratospheric Aerosol Injections program. And there's also the Solar Radiation Management program. These are all programs, big budgets. Then there's also the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative. And then you've also got TAP, T-A-P, Tropospheric Aerosol Program, through the Department of Energy. And so all the while, these activists and conspiracy theorists and researchers and people that are waking up and scientists and everybody and common people like myself, I mean, just regular average Joes, we're doing our research. We don't know to look up these exotic terms, Tropospheric Aerosol Program, Department of Energy. But had I known, the research would have been totally different. And the way that things would have unfolded and evolved and come to light in the public eye would have been totally different. So just this one document, the Tropospheric Aerosol Program through the Department of Energy in 2001, okay, mind you, everyone got really sidetracked in 2001 come 9/11, right? But just before 9/11, September 11, 2001, in summer of 2001, there was the Tropospheric Aerosol Program through the Department of Energy, and this document's about 100 pages long. I recommend anybody take a look at it. Tropospheric Aerosol Program, Department of Energy, PDF, it's right there, hidden in plain sight on the internet. You just don't, if you're out there researching contrails, chemtrails, and geoengineering, you're never gonna find this document, because they purposefully don't include those terms in this document. So it's the Department of Energy, and they, ultimately, if you want to know why and who and why and how, well, why is they didn't want solar energy to proliferate and take off, because then their dirty energy like oil and coal wouldn't be the mainstream energy source. You know, the sun can provide everything. So they decided to block out our sun and control everything through this agenda. But while you research and look into the Tropospheric Aerosol Program through the Department of Energy, which was launched in 2001, and they outline their budget for the spraying, they outline how and what, and they grid the city of Nashville. They grid chemicals, different plumes of chemicals with drones, helicopters, different planes, all these research tools and ground-based stations and everything, seeing how these plumes of chemicals mix over Nashville, Tennessee. This is all in 2001. And they outlined their budget for the next year. In 2001, they spent $5 million on just not getting exposed. $5 million on risk mitigation, just exposure mitigation. So all this unfolding, it's like, what are they spraying? Well, what they are spraying through the Department of Energy is a byproduct of burning coal. It's called coal fly ash. So you've got it's so interconnected, and it's not just the Air Force, you know, it goes into private sector and it's interwoven through the Department of Energy, and it's just so multifaceted and layered when you get into it. It's not just, I mean, it's not just geoengineering or weather modification. It gets really deep. So when you burn coal, the smokestacks, they have these filters on them. Otherwise, the coal would just be making the sky black. So the filters, they filter out the soot, and that soot is called coal fly ash. And the soot is rinsed out of the filters, and they're supposed to be put into bladders that are buried underground because it's toxic, hazardous waste. Well, actually what happens, and it's amazing how tuned in some of the locals are, some of the events that I host, because people at numerous events have stood up and say, I followed the money, I know exactly where these chemicals, where these trains are going, they're going straight to Air Force bases, straight from the coal burning power plants. So they take this sludge of the burned coal soot, and they take it straight to the Air Force bases, and then they can pull from it these dirty heavy metals that are showing up in the rainwater that are part of the geoengineering patents. And it's this whole array of toxic stuff. It's cadmium, titanium, mercury, aluminum, barium, strontium. It's all the stuff that comes from burning coal. So ultimately, you know, we're left in this position where we have to learn what's being sprayed and then figure out how to detox from it, to take our health into our own hands. And then we can chelate and do the spirulina, activated charcoal, bentonite clay, all these different, you know, you name it. There's a lot of different options, but we're left to become our own researching scientists at this point in the game. It's insanity.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about that later, how people can kind of cleanse themselves from all this stuff. But let's talk about some of the technology behind this. Now, a lot of people are saying HARP may be involved, some kind of satellites possibly. Do you have any information on that?
So HARP is an acronym, H-A-A-R-P, for the Highly Active Auroral Research Program. And it was this antenna array of, it's like a field of antennas in Alaska. And this field of antennas in Alaska, they use Tesla technology, which is frequency. Okay, and I'm going to get deeper into frequency in my next film. I'm working on a new film right now. So this, what Tesla's technology, what they use Tesla's technology to make this HARP array in Alaska, what they did with this antenna array is they spray the aerosolized nanoparticulate metallics in the atmosphere. Okay, they spray the sky with these different metals and mix them together to make them radioactive or whatever, you know. And then they use this field of antennas to pick a focal point in the sky of where it has been sprayed to superheat it with frequency. Now, when you can superheat areas of the atmosphere, you can create high-pressure bubbles, and you can steer jet streams, and you can create this like high-pressure bubble that's over the coast of California right now, preventing rain from coming into to California, creating this drought and all this sort of stuff. If you can create high pressure bubbles, you can wage war on countries, like creating this crazy drought and heat waves in Iran and what have you. So they took that HARP technology and they have shrank it down, and now they have ionospheric heaters all over the world. I mean, dozens, if not hundreds of them now. And they come, they've got these mobile ones that are shaped like golf balls that go on boats, a massive golf balls, mind you, and they go on ships and they can move them around. And yeah, they superheat different vast amounts of sky to create high pressure bubbles, to steer jet streams, to cause heat waves, to make their little plots on their charts to say that, oh, look, global warming's here. We're going to have to block out your sun, and you're welcome. Geoengineering is here to stay.
So do you think 5G will be somehow integrated into this?
Oh, 5G, that's a whole show on itself. And I've been doing a lot of research on that because of it's absolutely criminal, 5G. 5G, as they put these antennas out there, these cell towers, they're calling them, they can use those cell towers as ionospheric heaters as well to superheat the atmosphere. Now, the 5G thing, it gets really deep, because we're not just being sprayed with a byproduct of weather manipulation. Okay. Now, like, you can call it weather modification. You can call it geoengineering. That's all a really nice, gentle word, because there's also biological warfare. There's also experimental self-replicating carbon fiber nanotubes. There's nanotech being sprayed on us to see how much can accumulate in our body that reacts to EMF fields. Okay, so this 5G environment could actually make these nanobots activated and replicate and grow. There's this study out of Rice University. They show this Tesla Morphus. I was just posting it on Facebook the other day. Yeah, check me out on Facebook. I got 30,000 followers. I get censored like crazy, but still be my friend. I like that Matt Land, man. The 5G is definitely criminal. It's definitely weaponized. The extent to which it's integrated with the chemtrails is still yet to be seen. Are they an integral part together? Yes, for sure. There's an experiment coming up in Tucson, Arizona to normalize and officialize publicly chemtrails geoengineering as a solution to dimming our sunlight to save us from global warming. Also, Arizona is the first state to go statewide with the 5G. So there's no coincidence there. I believe that the 5G will also be able to help suspend the aerosolized metallics, because as we've witnessed, they have to spray like every few days to keep the haze. Otherwise it just falls to the ground. But with the interaction with the, I'm still learning a lot about the 5G. I could go on and on about it, but basically what's going on here is this new cell phone technology. Okay. You've got 3G, you've got 4G, you've got 5G, right? The 5G is nothing like a new version of cell phone technology. The old technology has these waves, these invisible carrier waves that carry data and our telephone calls and what have you. These waves can travel for great distances, and they're large. They're bigger than a person. They're the size of buildings at times, and they're big waves. These new waves are 1 millimeter in size. Okay, the 1 millimeter waves is the same wave that is used at the TSA to do body scanners, the same size wave that was created by the U.S. military to make these frequency fences called ADS, active denial systems, where your skin burns when you come into these zones where these one millimeter waves are being utilized. So ultimately, the 5G is going to really have a big impact on pregnant women. It's going to have an impact on our sleep rhythms and our brain waves and our heart waves. And, you know, we're going to have to learn really quick how to adapt and how to protect ourselves from this, especially in places that they're rolling it out full speed, which is almost everywhere in the country. But yeah, 5G is definitely worth researching. If you go to my website, actualactivists.com, there's a lot of information on there right now. And I just got the website, 5gtruth.com, but I haven't launched it yet. So I'm really running full steam ahead at that topic as well. And it's going to be talked about in my film. I'm interviewing the top scientists on the topic. So I'll be learning a lot more.
Oh, that'll be cool. I can't wait for that. Now, you had mentioned some of the kind of out there in the open uses that they kind of talk about now. Let's talk about, now I know you said that you don't have the answers, you're not the elite, you don't know exactly what they're doing, but let's talk some theories. My show is all about theories. You know, you had mentioned nanoparticles. Let's start there. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, you know, it all starts with following the patents, all right? When technology is patented, it's not because they have this idea, someone has an idea, you know, it's because they have the technology and they don't want their competitors stealing it from them. So there's patents on self-replicating carbon fiber nanotubes. They're nano-sized carbon filaments that can replicate and grow, right? They can grow inside of like a host kind of thing. So you get one tiny nanobot and then it, you know, eats the iron in your blood, for instance. That's what Morgellons does. Morgellons disease, which I just interviewed Clifford Carnicom for the film, and I had Clifford Carnicom in Tucson at the 3rd annual Global Chemtrail Summit, I call this one the Summit to Stop Geoengineering. But either way, it's my third annual Global Chemtrail Summit in Tucson, Arizona. Clifford Carnicom came and he spoke. He's amazing. Check him out at carnicominstitute.org. He is the foremost researcher in this Morgellons disease. And Morgellons is a synthetic biology, right? Just that word alone is something to wrap your head around. Synthetic biology, artificial life, right? And this synthetic biology, it's so advanced. It's beyond anything that we've ever publicly been witness to. And it's this it's these fibers that are these filaments that are like bright blue and bright red, and they grow inside of our bodies. And sometimes people get these lesions and they're growing out. And up until last year, doctors wouldn't touch it. They said it was a psychosis, that it was brought on through a mental condition. Obviously, all that information is being controlled. So the nano-level stuff is highly advanced. There's leaked documents that talk about these nanobots going around in swarms, and they can be told different resonant frequencies of people to attack and what have you. And it gets really esoteric, and to me, it gets down to kind of like a why. And that gets pretty spiritual, kind of, you know. It's like an attack on humanity more than anything. And why would people want to attack, wage war on humanity? I mean, I know Operation Paperclip. I don't think that we necessarily won World War II. And I know that NASA has a budget of like $52 million per day. And NASA has a chemtrail program, okay? Charged Aerosol Release Experiment CARE program. I mean, even that, even the fact that they call it CARE, and it's their chemtrail program.
Yeah.
It's pretty mental. So you've got NASA, who was created through Operation Paperclip, thousands of Nazi scientists escorted from Germany over here to create mind control program MK Ultra, and NASA, right? And NASA's full of it. This is not the show for that, but NASA's got a whole bunch of lying going on. So if you get really deep into why are these huge organizations basically waging a quiet war on humanity with 5G, smart meters, vaccines, GMO, chemtrails, fluoride water. I mean, if they really cared and they were humans like us and what have you, you know, are they just evil? Do they just really want to control us, or does it get deeper? And are they trying to prevent some sort of upgrade or elevation of consciousness and what have you? So my film is going to get deep into transhumanism. It's going to get into this artificial intelligent digital. The film is called Altered. It's humanity altered, but for short, it's altered, right? And that's the future going into. There was last March, I guess it was March 2017, might have been April, sorry. But either way, there was this National Geographic front page that said taking evolution into our own hands, and it showed ape, and then, you know, our evolution into human, and then after human, it showed the cyborg. Like we all are to become cyborgs, right? And then Elon Musk, and somehow he's become totally not for the people, and he's shooting convertibles into space and claiming that it's real when it's not and whatever. And then he's saying we're going to go to Mars, but the people that get to go to Mars are going to be the upgraded people with the bionic this and the bionic that. And Elon Musk has this company he's coming out with called Neuralink. In 2 years' time, he wants people to be able to connect with this cord into their jugular to drive their cars and to connect this internet of humanity. And they're talking about soul consciousness transfers. And so as this attack on humanity unfolds, I see this headline in the not-too-distant future of save humanity by living forever. Because under this 5G environment, women will not be able to have children. So when there's a point when we can't reproduce and people are slowly dying, but there's no children being born, there will be this push through the media to try to live forever through this transhumanism agenda, you know? And then what is that? Why? Why do they want to hijack humanity as we know it? Because I think there's something more, like there's something more, right? I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I do know that there's something more. Is it a spiritual evolution? Is it an evolution of consciousness? Like what's on the horizon that they're so eager to disrupt and stop with this nanotech and this attack on frequency and what have you? It gets, like I said, it gets pretty esoteric, and it kind of gets down to discernment and feeling in your gut what is going on, you know, and what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right. Because there's an attack on truth. There's an attack on the real nitty-gritty, like, truth to everything. Like, the exact same things that I was searching a year ago, the exact opposite comes up now. Opposite. Not like, oh, it's a little different. Now left is right and right is left. And last year it wasn't. You know what I mean? So, I mean, as far as the truth, you know, information, whether it be fluoride, whatever you want to, whatever it may be. So yeah, I think the nanobot play, it definitely has something, it's definitely something really deeper than we can even fathom.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I just get the gut feeling that there's a lot more deeper things going on with the whole chemtrail phenomenon than we'll ever know. And speaking of that, you know, most people will see the planes spraying. Well, some people, even myself, have seen something other than planes. Seen orbs or maybe drones. Talk a little about that. Have you done any research into that?
Yeah, I've seen transparent planes, and at first I had some really out there theories, but then I learned about some stealth technology and what have you. I don't think that everything that I've seen has been human stealth technology. I have seen little micro machine, tiny little planes at very, very low spraying. But if you weren't looking through the right lens, you would say, oh, that's a little plane really far away. But because I saw it come right over the mountain and I can see that it's only 500 feet up, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've witnessed that, is it because my eyes are glued to the sky? Is it because, you know, the universe put me in that perfect situation to see some crazy shit? I don't know. Some crazy stuff. I don't know, but I've seen some seriously interesting things just in the past few years. It's been 3 years. I devoted my life, my every day, to exposing this agenda and bringing scrutiny and transparency to the ongoing toxic aerosol campaign. It's only been 3 years for me, okay? And in 3 years' time, I've spearheaded a global movement, spearheaded it. I've been able to discern who's who, what's what. And I'm hosting these conferences. I've got this movie, Frankenskies, frankenskiesmovie.com. And I've got actualactivists.com. And I've really learned a whole lot in a really short amount of time. And it's definitely not just me trying hard. I think the universe is really trying to line it up so that I can bring the truth forward to the people because I'm a good person or something like that. But yeah, I've seen orbs. I've seen just an orb, a little white ball with nothing behind it except for some trails, you right. know, and is that like interdimensional craft? Is there an interdimensional war on consciousness, or is that just some like really high tech stuff? Like, if it was really high tech, why wouldn't they get really high tech and pretend to be a plane? Like, I've seen holographic planes. So why would they, if they're so high tech, why, you know, there's a lot of questions. There's a whole lot of questions. There's such a lack of transparency into what's going on. And like, we're just left to look at the sky. And I've got people sending me videos from all over the world. And some of them are just mind blowing. And ultimately, yeah, I've seen some crazy stuff. And it really doesn't even fit into the scenarios, the mental constructs that I've gotten programmed through my life to even believe in. I definitely think that at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of people ask me, how come they attack the sunsets and the sunrise? Okay. And also I've witnessed all of a sudden they'll come and attack full moons.
Right. All yeah. Right.
Come out of the clear blue night sky, and they'll just hit the full moon a few times and leave, and they'll be gone for a few more days. It's like, so I started theorizing on that. Okay. And while we're talking about orbs and we're kind of esoteric and we're on this kind of talk about spirituality a little bit, I have this theory that there's this ebb and flow of light on Earth, It has to do with the rising and setting sun and the sequence of the moons and all of that, the sequence of the moon. So the moon gets full and it waxes and wanes. The sun comes up and goes down. There's orange light in the morning, orange light at night. And all that light, all that stuff going on creates this frequency. And we're frequency. We're light beings going through this process of evolution or what have you. And I believe that the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the sun together creates this overarching frequency that helps trigger our DNA to evolve or something like that. And the powers that be are disrupting that. They will be gone all day long, and then 10 drones will show up. Okay, and I don't think these drones are manned. I've seen that there's, I mean, when I was living in Sedona, Arizona, I saw a lot of drones. Okay, they weren't planes. And I've lived in a lot of different places on mountaintops and this and that, and I've done a lot of research. I've got a camera lens that is about 4 feet long, right? So I'm like watching the sky, and they come and they hit that sunset, right? Every single time. Why? You know, and then people say, well, do you know the power of sun gazing and this and that? And you start to kind of do the math and question what they're up to. And I definitely think that there's a bigger thing at play here than just experimenting on us and controlling our weather and wreaking havoc on our agricultural system and what have you. It gets even deeper.
Oh, it definitely does. And have you noticed the attempted normalization through television, cartoons, and I've heard video games?
Yes, and that's pretty frustrating. And unless you're looking through the right lens of a truth-seeking, aware, tuned in, awake kind of person, it's just planted in your subconscious. It's this predictive program, like psyche manipulation. Even the film Geostorm. The film Geostorm is pushing the envelope so far that anything less of that is now okay. When I talk to people about this normalization agenda to dim the sunlight, to block out the sun, to save us from global warming, everybody says, oh, you mean like The Matrix? And I'm like, oh man, they already got you. They already reprogrammed you to a dystopian future so grim that anything short of The Matrix is now okay and you can laugh it off. But yeah, the video games, people even have said that the movie Jaws was digitally remastered and put in chemtrails. There's older movies that are digitally remastered in the persistent linear Sears cloud formations, the lines in the sky, the chemtrails, they're put in there to normalize and condition people to think that it's already been there the whole time. And then simultaneously, the media, the way that they play it, I've done these interesting presentations. I did one at the Truth Mind Reality Conference in Phoenix, Arizona on March 10th. I went through 90 slides in 30 minutes. I was pretty proud of that one. But in it, I talk about all this media normalization. They'll simultaneously come out and tell you chemtrails are bogus. And on the same day, the same publication will come out saying, we've got new clouds. There's a whole new type of cloud out there. And also geoengineering is here. And it looks like this. And it's literally the same photo of the chemtrails. And they say, here, we've got the solution for you. So yeah, there's definitely a programming, social engineering factor going on. And the children, the people that haven't grown up with blue skies, like you and I, right? We saw the shift. We saw it all. I mean, we went from the phone in the kitchen with the cord and yep. May I speak to Matt, please, to having a pager, to like gotta find the payphone to call back on the pager, to now, you know, it's a little different than that. But we saw it all. We saw it all, you and I, and we also saw dark blue skies. But the kids nowadays, they're programmed from birth, and they never saw a real sky. They never saw this dark, dark blue, you know? Like, I'm looking outside right now, and the sky's got this white tint that it never had when I was a kid. You know, I never saw grid-patterned skies when I was growing up.
No. Everything has changed. I mean, things are changing very rapidly, especially our climate. I report on our climate. That's what my channel is about. I do news reports on the earth changes we're seeing, the crazy weather. I have not seen so many crazy hailstorms that are just almost every day in parts of the world and just flooding everywhere. Do you think that this is part of, you know, their manipulation?
Well, definitely. Definitely. And even the fires. Even the fires, you know, and that's like, if you look at the discrepancies and the forensics of the Santa Rosa fire last fall in California. You know, these fires are being engineered with frequency even, but so somehow they've manipulated the mass consciousness, this collective consciousness of human, of people on Earth, to think that that global warming and climate change equals crazy hurricanes and flooding and drought. And somehow they're posing this solution, which is geoengineering, which is dimming the sun, which I don't know how dimming the sun is gonna save us from these crazy hurricanes that they're creating, right? You look up the HAMP, Hurricane Atmospheric Modification Program, they administer black soot, okay, carbon black soot, aerosolized carbon black soot into Hurricane Katrina. They claim they thought it was gonna dissipate the storm. It made it even bigger, right? They have been working with hurricane creation and modification and steering for some time. If you look up Ascension Island has this massive HAARP station in the South Atlantic, okay? This is where a lot of these hurricanes are born. They give birth to them, they steer them, they get them bigger. There's even like this hurricane Joaquin, where this directionalized arm was created in South Carolina, got these the thousand-year floods and what have you, when they weaponized Hurricane Joaquin a few summers back, which I go over in a lot of my presentations. But yeah, it's problem, reaction, solution. And it's like, I could talk about this Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, like five times over, and it's so important because it's applied to almost everything. Okay. And you don't think it's like, oh yeah, that. And okay, now they've pushed the envelope to that degree. No, it's this guy, George Hegel, at the turn of the century, this philosopher, he created this master slave dialectic, this way of speaking where you can maintain as a master and everybody else is a slave just by finagling the scenario to this problem, reaction, solution. The reaction is always fear. And the solution is always pre-planned. And the problem is created by the master for the slave to react as fear, right? And it's like, every time I look at it and every time I see anything in the news, I'm like, wow, they really have perfected it. And the way that they hit you with it, you're almost believing it even though you know what they're doing. So yeah, they create these fear situations. And they push it around the control media. They give everybody a script nationwide, and they hit you with the certain verbiage and hand gestures and all of this neurolinguistic program to make you worried and scared and looking for a solution. And the problem is so big and so out of your hands that ultimately when they tell you that they're going to just dim the sun a little bit and spray the skies with aluminum, and you know, maybe you'll get dementia, maybe the bees will die, maybe the trees will die, but don't worry, that hurricane's not going to come and get you. You know, it's pretty deep and intricate, and it's all about taking your power back and learning how to discern and take truth as a frequency that you can elevate to and ride on every level. It's not about just truth of chemtrails or just truth of the Illuminati or whatever it may be. It's truth across the board, right? And once you can see truth in this aspect, in this aspect, in this aspect, you can literally go through and be like, okay, this is total fake news, propaganda, Operation Mockingbird, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then finally you're like, okay, cool, there's some good stuff right there for you.
Yeah, well said, and I agree. Now, a question that I've always wondered, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, how do the powers in control protect themselves against the crap that they're spraying on themselves, basically?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. And I don't necessarily know the answer, but I've got, you know, a couple theories. For one, they know exactly what's being sprayed. If I knew exactly what was being sprayed, I could create a holistic remedy. I could take the detox. If I knew where they were spraying, I would maybe not be there on that day. Also, if I was the elite, I'd have these amazing air filters, you know, in my home and in my car. And after all that, you know, if there's even some insane nanotechnology and stuff like that, and they have the antidote, you know, That's my answer. That's my answer. I mean, they know what's being sprayed. We're in the dark. We're trying to become scientists and researchers. And now I've got to understand technology, what gigahertz are and terahertz and 5G and all this stuff. And it's like as if vaccine ingredients, fluoride is a neurotoxin, genetically modified with everything, aerosolized nanobots, Morgellons disease, self-replicated carbon fiber nanotubes, and the economic system, the Federal Reserve, the legal name, like as if all these other truths weren't enough, it's ongoing. I don't know. And how, why would they do that to themselves? It's like this. And I realized this the other day. It's indoctrination, normalization, need to know basis. So indoctrination, normalization, need to know basis. So the people that are involved, they're indoctrinated. They're on a need to know basis. So they're just like compartmentalized kind of thing. And then they, compartmentalization, indoctrination, need to know basis. Yeah. So they're just told that they're doing their job, that they're saving the planet from, you know, heating up so fast that we'd all die. Cause I mean, some people are told that there's methane being released from the ocean so fast that we have to slow it down. And some people are told that there's another planet coming and we got a da 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 da. Some people are told, like, there's so much disinformation, misinformation from all these powers that be that even these higher ups, okay? I met a gentleman who was tuned in to these higher ups in the CIA. And he said, look, I could lose my life for this, but I'm going to tell you, I know why they're spraying. And they're spraying to prevent this alien race from invading. They spray a certain chemical that prevents this alien race from entering our atmosphere. So this is the shit that the CIA higher ups are being spoon-fed, this misinformation, disinformation. And they're like, oh, I've got the truth. And it's like, for real, dude. So a lot of them are lied to, and the people that are in the know, they know. They know all of it. And so they know where to be, where not to be, how to detox from it, whatnot, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Now, for people who are just waking up to this and are on the fence, you know, still kind of skeptical, what's maybe one or two things you could just tell them right off the bat that may help them swing over to the other side?
Watch Frankest Guy at the Movie. FrankestGuyAtTheMovie.com. I'm just kidding. Getting people to sit down for an 80-minute long documentary, even though the movie's amazing, it's still pretty tough if they're on the fence. Okay, so here is the answer to that question. The answer to that question is, please just start to look at your sky. When there is a clear blue day, notice that there's no air traffic. It's not about the lines in the sky or the clouds or anything. Okay, let's ignore all that stuff for now. Let's just focus on the air traffic. Okay, and the irregular pattern of appearance, that is like the clue. All right. It's not like, oh, there's no planes in the sky. There's no planes in the sky. And then on Wednesday, all these planes are zigzagging to Hawaii over your house. That's not happening. All right. So it's the irregular pattern of appearance. And especially those blue days where nothing is going on. That's like a way gentler approach than like, look at those lines in the sky. They're spraying you with chemicals. Get inside. Right. Well, let's bring the attention to the blue days and be gentle with that and just be subtle and say, hey, what did they close down the airports today, John?
Yeah. Well, you know, that may work with some, but there's a lot of trolls out there, and I would definitely recommend them to go and watch your movie. And in closing, let's talk about some things that people can do to kind of cleanse themselves from all this terrible stuff that is being sprayed.
Yeah, definitely. And then also to further answer your previous question, there's a lot of research out there. There's patents, there's different websites. Patrick Roddy has a great site, stopsprayingus.com. There's a website, byebyebluesky.com. This woman, Suzanne, out of Canada. There's climatechangeagenda.com. That's Terry Lawton's site out of Ireland. You know, there's a lot of good resources, but ultimately people really just have to see it for themselves. And so just bringing the sky to their attention and maybe some of the patents and maybe you know, the fact that there's all these different programs out there, or maybe one of my presentations if they can sit down for it. Yeah, it's a tough one, and it's one of the hardest ones, because you've got, for all the other topics, you know, fluoride, you can bring some of the research to them. The ingredients in the vaccine stuff, it's like, yeah, okay. But convincing them that they've been lied to about the sky and all that, and the massive misinformation propaganda machine out there that tries to steer the opinion of the public, it's an uphill battle, especially with some people that are set in their ways. Yeah, it's a tough one, and that's really the point of the movie Frankenskies, is to empower and inspire people to be able to bring that information forward. But really, you can only meet people where they're at. That is really the answer to the question. You can only meet people where they're at. And some people, they're ready to look at all this information. Some people, you can really only come to them with maybe a patent, you know, and say, well, then how come in 1996 they had this patent on this for this, you know, stuff like that. So protecting yourself from it, we're being sprayed with these different metals. Okay, and really, we as humans, okay, we need metals in our diet, surprisingly. Like 50 years ago, the soil in the United States, the agricultural system and what have you, these plants are uptaking all sorts of different minerals. Okay, there's the noble elements, which is like got palladium and iridium and gold and silver and stuff like that. There's all these different minerals that we don't get as much of anymore. If you get into agriculture, you learn that all the plants really need are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. These three things, these three elements to grow and bloom and flower and everything. Okay. So the food's not as nutrient dense as it used to be. So we're out there and especially magnesium. Oh my gosh. I started learning about magnesium. When you eat one molecule of sugar, your body processes that one molecule of sugar. It takes your body 54 molecules of magnesium to process one molecule of sugar. So 54-to-1 ratio, imagine that. We're all pretty much magnesium deficient. So Epsom salt baths, magnesium supplement, something like that. It's, you got to get up to speed on your minerals, magnesium being one of them. Also, there's different mineral supplements that you can get to get there with these other minerals. Because if you walk around mineral deficient, your body's trying to absorb calcium and these different things, and then it absorbs strontium in the air instead, and then you get this freaking toxic nanoparticulate. You absorb the wrong thing. So getting up to speed on your minerals, being alkaline, that's important. Knowing about what even alkaline even means, you know, what pH is, and that coffee and peanut butter are acidic, and you got to level that stuff out. You know, if you're going around drinking Coca-Cola, smoking cigarettes, eating pepperoni pizza all day, and you're wondering why you're not feeling so hot, it's because your body's acidic. Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I, he was curing everything across the board. Cancer, AIDS, everything, just from alkaline herbs, just from alkaline diet. Just from alkalinity. He ended up being murdered. But yeah. Either way, you look that up, you know, knowing your body, alkaline diet, and then detoxing, there's bentonite clay, there's spirulina, chlorella, zeolite, there's activated charcoal, there's cilantro, there's all sorts of things, but what I recommend is literally, if you've got the money, and I know it's kind of tough, go to a naturopath, get your hair tested, see what you've got going on, you know? If you've got a whole bunch of cadmium in your body, get some advice and you don't even have to do it all at once, but slowly get this stuff out of you and then get retested and see if it works, right? I do coconut oil pulls where I rinse my mouth with coconut almost every morning. That stuff, it's an Ayurvedic thing. It pulls the metals out of your system. So find what works for you. But I recommend just starting off and putting something into your diet, whether it's spirulina or the activated charcoal, and just bit by bit, you know, I've seen amazing results from just taking baking soda, like little doses of baking soda throughout the day. My body gets alkaline, functions better, and then you can detox. But yeah, everyone's different. but you can pull these things out of your body. Also, avoiding fluoride. Okay, fluoride, it's in a lot of toothpaste. It's in tap water. It's even in the kombucha at the store, because that stuff's coming from Los Angeles. And if it says purified water, not reverse osmosis, just purified water, check that water source, right? Because I've been spending a lot of time with a six-year-old who has fluorosis from having fluoride in her baby formula. And whenever she drinks anything that has fluoride in it, her bones hurt all night long, right? So I've learned the hard way that there's a lot of fluoride in a lot of stuff, especially the fluoridated toothpaste. Come on. So fluoride, what it does is it passes your blood-brain barrier, okay? And it'll actually escort the aluminum in your body to your brain. So if you bring the fluoride into your system, it's going to bring the aluminum that's in your body from the aerosols, maybe from the aluminum in your deodorant, what have you. Avoiding aluminum is actually going to be a good thing too, like don't get the flu shot and all this other stuff. And then EMF environments, all right? I know we're used to the luxury of having these smart devices and these iPads and iPhones and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. At least try to turn your Wi-Fi off at night if you can. At least try to turn your phone on airplane mode at night, or at least, you know, have the smartphone a little farther away from you. If you're pregnant, get that phone away from your belly, you know? If your kids are young, I know it's easy to hand them that iPad, but it's really bad for them. It really, really is. So what an EMF environment does is, and that's why this 5G comes into play. Oh, this is why the 5G is so important. The 5G and the EMF environment, it messes with your blood-brain barrier. It actually makes it porous. So when we're sprayed with these aerosolized chemicals, aluminum, barium, strontium, what have you, it doesn't go straight to our brain. It gets in our bloodstream, but we have this blood-brain barrier as protection. These EMF fields, they break down the blood-brain barrier and the aerosols can go straight to the brain. So when you're in a 5G environment and then you're sprayed with these aerosols, then it's a totally different ballgame than what we've been dealing with prior to a 5G environment. So lessen your exposure to EMF and you'll avoid this aluminum toxicity in your brain, and you won't suffer dementia, Alzheimer's, and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Well, very good. Thank you for all that. And is there anything you got upcoming that you'd like to talk about before you head out?
Oh, wow. I'm always trying to push myself to the next project. So I did just host this conference in Tucson, and I'm getting these interviews underway for my next film. So that's really exciting. Aside from that, I'm putting together a music festival. So that's going to be something, but that's probably a year in the making right now. And it's going to be an awakening festival where all these topics are touched upon, and then musicians and artists are brought in, and we target the youth because the youth really needs to get involved. Aside from that, just movie screenings. I watched my film Frankenskies the other day, and I realized that it's actually a good movie. I was beating myself up over, you know, this needs to change, this, that needs to change kind of thing. You know, you're worst critic, but I really want to and am going to tour the movie more so I'll be going around giving tours of the film, and then I'll be hosting more conferences here coming up. And yeah, I mean there's a whole list of stuff, but ultimately, please check out my Daily Truths on actualactivists.com. It's plural, actualactivists.com. And on there, I have it's portioned out into chemtrails, vaccines, fluoride, GMO. Okay, those four are the main topics that everyone needs to wake up to if we're really going to bring truth forward to the next generation, because we're in a minority. I hate to say it. The truthers are a minority. And that platform, where I have these daily truth blogs, I have a daily post of a daily truth blog, because the censorship on all the other social media platforms was getting so extreme, trying to pull people over onto actualactivist.com. Actual Activists will launch into a social media platform. I'm hopeful to have the funding this year, but ultimately that's what's happening. So please get engaged and come and start checking out the page if you can. The Daily Truths go all the way back to February. I can almost guarantee that there's something on there that you haven't heard of, right? So come check that out. It's changing every single day, and ultimately it'll unfold into a platform where we can get engaged, And I'm actually going to be creating this link where you can sponsor an activist. And if you want to become an activist, I can give you flyers on your topic. And if you want to sponsor an activist, you can sponsor someone who wants to get activated.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, Matthew. That was an awesome conversation. Check out Matthew's movie. We'd love to have you back sometime. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you. And thanks for all you do. And thanks for bringing the truth to the people, because we need you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night. Have a good one.